it seemed like it was so difficult to hit that first million, and it just took forever and hit it. And then it's like we eased into like the 2 million mark. It just came a lot easier, I feel, than the first million.
Right.
From ABC News Radio, KMET, 1490 in Southern California, this is Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio with your host, Tyler Jorgensen.
All right, I want to welcome everybody out to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio. We have another wonderful guest lined up, and today we're going to be talking with DJ Valori, who is not only the founder and CEO of Lodging Interactive, a $7 million company, but he also has started a really cool thing called Hotel Pause. So we're going to talk about his journey, how he got started, and why he's branching out and doing this cool new thing. So welcome out to the show, DJ.
Thanks, Tyler. I appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to your audience and share my stories with them, if it's helpful.
Looking forward to hearing about it. So where are you coming in from?
So we're in New Jersey, a place called Parsippany, New Jersey. It's about 30 minutes from Manhattan.
Very cool.
In North Jersey.
And so what is one thing right off the bat that most people don't know about you, but that they should know about you?
Okay. Is basically, I'm a serial entrepreneur, meaning, I've had multiple companies that I've started. My first one was an online store selling mustard, mustardstore.com. And I was basically a reseller of hundreds of mustards all over the world. And, shipping Gulden's mustard you get for 99 cents to people in Japan would pay $4 or $5 for it. I mean, it was a great business. I sold that, started another .com called freeshipping.com, which became like an online portal for items that are all shipped for free.
Right.
I just love the technology, love the hustle of it. And, just putting the technology and the business and together and just finding the pain points for hotels specifically now. My career, I've been in the hotel industry for about 35 years. So I'm kind of applying, my love for technology and hospitality and sales and marketing.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So you've covered a couple of things. So you've got a business in hotel and lodging, but you've also done a few different like e-commerce type launches.
Right.
When did you first realize that you were an entrepreneur?
I think it was in the mid-90s when I started playing around with the internet and getting more involved with it. And that's when I had the idea to create the mustardstore.com.
Yeah.
It was really just the aggregation of the different mustards all drop shipped to the customers directly around with e-commerce. But I had worked in... at that time, I worked for Avis Rent-A-Cars, their technology division, and I headed up business development and was involved with aggregating connections to airline systems and car rentals and hotels. So I think that's where I really started the entrepreneurial game, was with the mustard store.
Yeah.
Just putting it all together, right? So sourcing the mustards, doing the marketing, and just learning by trial and error.
But so you had started at your career as a traditional in the traditional career environment, and you started doing entrepreneur stuff on the side. What's your advice to people who are following a similar path? Who they're in a career, they're doing something, but they want to do something on the side.
So the advice is, anyone can do it. You've got to put in the hours. When I came home, actually for this business here, Lodging Interactive, I was in the corporate world. I was earning six figures. Corporate vice president of a publicly traded hotel company. And at night from 7 to like midnight, 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, I would work on my side hustle, which was to start this Lodging Interactive company. And I think that, the technology, especially today, it levels the playing field, right? You can look online, you can look like a $1 billion company now. And if you do your marketing right, you'll be able to attract, customers to your business. So the advice is, just take the time to do it. Like they all say, we all have 24 hours in a day.
Right.
It comes down to how you use those 24 hours. I don't really watch television much. And especially when I was starting the company, I would just be in my extra bedroom, just putting it all together. And my wife, of course, was very patient, still is. You need to have a supportive partner or spouse because it is going to take time away from family. The work-life balance thing, I'm not sure exists so much.
Right.
But having put in the work and gone through the pain of putting it all together, now I'm at a point where for the last 10 years, I've been able to spend more time with my kids and my family and kind of set my own schedule. And that's really the freedom that comes with being an entrepreneur and being successful. You're not tied to a desk all day long, but you do work more hours than you would if you worked for somebody else.
Right. And yeah, so you have some flexibility, but you also brought up a really important point for entrepreneurs, which is that you've got to make sacrifices, especially at the beginning, right? To get things in motion and get to your goals. So your big business that you're doing now, Lodging Interactive, how did you make that decision? What problem does that solve? And what are your goals for that company?
Yeah. So I basically, I started that company on the side while I was still working for that publicly traded hotel company. I was actually in charge of a digital and marketing strategy for about 350 hotels.
Okay.
I had about four or five people working for me. And I said, you know what? I can't get it all done with four or five people. What's the smaller guy out there who owns maybe three or four hotels? There's got to be an opportunity to do this. So I told my wife, let's give it 6 months, see what happens. And we never look back. You know, I should have done it sooner. And it's grown successfully now. We have, you know, almost 50 people on payroll. And and the way I set up the company, which is interesting too, and I set it up as a virtual work from home. All my people work from home, except for me. I have a corporate office in Parsippany, but it allows you to go out and acquire better talent, and just be able to get people to work for you from home and give them the freedom as well that you enjoy as an entrepreneur. So the goal for that, the digital marketing business of Lodging Interactive, you know, we work with hundreds of hotels across the country, do their internet strategy, website design, social media, all that stuff, is really to continue to grow it and put the proper people in place so that I, as an entrepreneur who always has these crazy ideas, can continue to pursue that and have real business executives running the company so I can continue to collect a check.
Right.
Right? While I play around with other different business opportunities that I want to get into.
What was the first big challenge that you encountered while you were launching your business, and how'd you overcome it?
So the first big challenge was really credibility in getting that first one or two customers.
Right.
And it was basically, you know, working with a hotel company that was willing to find a hotel company that was willing to work with you, even though you didn't have any customers. Right. So I went out and actually provided services for free for two customers. And they were big names. They were Marriott and a Sheraton. And my logic there was that, you know what, if I can work with a 300-room Marriott, I can certainly help your 150-room independent hotel in the middle of nowhere, right?
Right.
So it immediately gave me credibility. So I would say don't be afraid to provide your services for free as you're building your company. We still do that today. We're launching new products and services all the time, and we will do beta tests with customers.
Right.
And so that's I think credibility in the competitive set that you're playing in is important. And that's how I overcame
that. Yeah, that's huge. And you, I like how you did that. I have a saying in our business that is, we only do things for either free or full price. You know, so every once in a while, you got to do something like that. You got to do some free services to get some credibility or to get in the door or to get started. I personally have found that discounts can ruin the relationship for both sides, right?
Right.
But sometimes you got to, hey, I'm going to do it for free in exchange for a testimonial, or I'm going to do an exchange so that I can put your logo on my website or whatever it is to get that credibility.
Yeah.
And then you went from there, started doing it on your own, to scaling a team. What have been some of the secrets to scaling a team and managing a team?
Well, I think, you know, you started off by, you know, just finding freelancers is how I did it at first. And those freelancers turned into employees for the most part. And many of them are still with me today after 15 years.
Very cool.
Which is phenomenal, and it's great. And the interesting thing is that a lot of them, one guy in particular who still works for us, he's based in Turkey, and I had not spoken to him for 10 years. We only communicated via instant messaging.
Right.
And we built that relationship, and then I flew him in, and you know, he's still part of the team today. But I think, you know, if building a company like that is, you want to have standards, operating procedures in place. When you get to a level where you have 10 or more people, I think it's important that you have someone that has a strong operational background. And I'm lucky enough to have that one person. I've got many, but that one that's our chief operating officer. And she documents everything, does all the initial interviewing, et cetera. And without that, I would just be a crazy entrepreneur, you know, just coming up with these things and not being able to deploy the business. So you want to have the support there as you grow. You know, and going back to your comment about discounts, you know, you're right. It's either free or full price. But I would say that sometimes you've got a discount because you got to always keep thinking as the business owner, how am I going to make payroll next week? Right. And if there's an issue with that, you're going down real quick. So payroll, meeting payroll is the most important thing from, you know, when you're starting your company, you're trying to build loyalty and longevity with your employees. You never want to miss payroll. I've never missed it in 18 years.
Right.
So sometimes you do what you have to do to get the business. Right?
Sure. Yeah. What we, so one of the mechanisms that we deploy that gets the business, but doesn't discount or devalue the business is we look for ways to add value. Say, okay, you know, you're signing up for our social media package, that's X. But if you sign up today for the social media package, we're going to throw in our digital marketing package for free. So what that, yes, is that the same as a discount? Kind of. However, it's very different psychologically where you're not looked at as, because, you know, with price, it's such a challenge. And there's a ton of studies that have been done on this where once you discount price, it's very hard to go back up or to be ever perceived as having the value of the original price point again. Right. You know, a perfect example is restaurants that send out coupons all the time.
Yep.
What they do is essentially train their customers to only shop when they receive coupons. And those customers have a really hard time now going in and paying full price, and they will sometimes, but some restaurants do this more than others. But the concept, right, is the same. And obviously, you're 100% right in that you've got to do whatever your business needs to do to survive. If you don't survive, it doesn't matter what strategy you deployed.
That's right. That's
right. Absolutely. So you've got, as you've grown from that first couple of hotels that you did, and you grew to 7 million. What were the major revenue blocks that you hit? Would you say like, okay, getting to that first $1 million a year revenue was the first thing? And how, what shifted as you hit each of these tiers?
So, you know, I think it seemed like it was so difficult to hit that first million and it just took forever and hit it. And then it's like, we eased into like the 2 million mark. It just came a lot easier, I feel, than the first million.
Right.
And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just psychologically or something, but it just, you know, all of our business is based on retainer. So it grows and month after month. And we have a very little attrition rate from our customers, which is good. And I think that the issue you have is as you continue to grow like this, it's like, how large do you want to get as an entrepreneur and how involved do you want to get with the business as far as running it day to day? That's where I go back to having really a strong COO and president who can run the company, have the skills. You know, I could probably do it because I think I could do anything in my business, but probably not as well as someone who's got all of that experience in running companies, small companies. So it's important to get that in place at a certain level. And now I'm at a point where I have a COO. I'm still the founder and president. But at some point, you know, that COO is going to graduate into the president role.
Right.
And then, you know, we'll look to fill that position. And then I'll be able to exit the business and start playing around with other business ideas.
Well, so bringing that up, you're in the hotel space.
Right.
And you have another opportunity that you're working on within that. It's called hotelpause.com. And that's pause with a Z.
Yep.
So hotelpause.com. And I just recently, it's been 2 years. It still feels really fresh. We got our first dog in the family. And we love to travel. And so when you mentioned this to me, I realized, man, there's a real demand. So explain to me the problem that your new business solves and how you guys do it.
Sure, absolutely. So in the hospitality industry in North America, 60% of hotels allow people to bring their pets with them, mostly dogs. Sometimes they allow cats, but it's mostly dogs for some reason. I guess the cats, they don't want the furniture.
Allergies and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So while you can bring your pet with you in these hotels, Ritz-Carlton's, Four Seasons, et cetera, and a lot of the mid-market hotels too, you're not allowed to leave your pet alone in the room because it'll bark. Maybe you don't have the proper crating involved there. And, you know, housekeeping comes in, you know, things could happen, right? So they say, bring your pet. We love them. Great. We've got, you know, special beds for them and water bowls, blah, blah, blah. But you can't leave them in your room. Okay, so now you're in New York and you're traveling and you have your pet. You want to go see a Broadway show or go out to dinner with your wife. You can't really do that and leave your pet alone. So I got the idea and I started talking to different concierge departments and different hotels that we work with and asking them how often do they get a request for a pet sitter to come to the hotel. And they say, happens every week. And we're scratching our heads, you know, pulling our hair out, trying to find out who to bring in. And that's where I got the idea. It's just like babysitting, but for pets. So our service basically connects the, through our technology on our website, connects the pet owner who's traveling with the pet sitters that we've already vetted and actually have, you know, gone through the vetting process. My daughter's involved with the business. She's a professional dog trainer.
Oh, cool.
So she does all the vetting of the dog trainers. And we then connect the two. So you come to the site, you say, I'm traveling to Myrtle Beach. I want someone to come to the hotel on this day at this time. And we send it out to our pet sitters that we vetted out, background checked, et cetera.
Right.
And we get the confirmation back, send it back to the client. They pay with their credit card. We're all good.
Wow. That's amazing. So it's a big, it sounds like it's a growing problem. I mean, concierge departments are saying it's happening weekly. And this is just of the people who traveled without even having that problem solved, right? So there's probably a larger percentage of people who just chose not to bring their pet because they didn't have that answer.
Exactly.
So how long ago did you start the business?
Well, I've been working on it since November 2018, but we launched April 1st. I'll say April 1st is when we publicly announced it.
Yeah.
We're in 12 cities now, and by June, we'll be launching another 25 cities.
Holy cow.
I want to get to critical mass, you know, pretty quickly because, you know, the worst thing that can happen is someone goes to the website, they're looking for their city, and there's nothing there.
Right.
They may not come back, right? So we're right now going to engage a public relations company to help us build that part of it. I could spend a lot of money on pay-per-click advertising to get visibility, but I think earned media in this situation will go a longer way. In blog stories and, you know, interviews like this are great
from
organic growth and repurposing. So, cool. So I think it's got legs, you know, and the cool thing about it, this is what I really like about it, is we don't really need a large infrastructure to make this happen.
Right.
Right. So it happens basically all online. Everything's paid for online. The pet sitters are sourced. They're not employees, they're contractors. So you don't have all the additional expense of payroll taxes and benefits and so forth. They're contractors. And the other cool thing is that from a liability standpoint, which is something every entrepreneur should also consider, it's minimal as compared to actually doing the pet sitting. We are not doing the pet sitting. We're like Uber. We connect the two.
And sure. You're because they're contractors and not your employees, you're basically just, you're finding the service and connecting each other. So that's a really cool service and a really cool problem to solve that I haven't seen anybody else going after. What, I mean, I love that you started in November and you're already live. There's so many people I know that have a business idea and, you know, they have the idea for 5 years before they even do it. And then they never actually do. So what was the, so far as you've gotten started, what was a challenge that you hit and how'd you overcome it?
So my initial challenge or thought was that my biggest issue was going to be finding pet sitters. And I will tell you that I've learned a lot about this business, the pet sitting business. There are literally thousands of people across the country that are pet sitters in their local regions, in their local area.
Right.
And they just enjoy doing it. They're professional pet sitters. They charge for pets to come to their home.
Right.
Right. But they don't actually do the hotel part. And they're all excited about doing it. So finding pet sitters, you know, I have an approach on how we do it. We advertise on Craigslist. We get, you know, we have a specific pitch and advertisement we put on there. And within 24 hours, no joke, we get over 200 applicants.
Oh, wow.
I have to turn it off at times. It's just too many people coming in. Everybody wants to get that gig economy. And, you know, if they love animals and pet sitting, this is a perfect spot for them. So we put them through, again, like I said, a vetting process because it's not for everybody. We don't want to work with everybody. You know, some other companies like Wag or Rover, you know, they've got an application on a phone. Anybody that's 18 years or older who can pass the test basically can walk a dog. I wouldn't give my dog to a stranger like that. In our space, we're actually, you know, we're interviewing these folks and we're background checking them and to making sure that they're already established as a pet sitter in their community. So finding the people I thought would be the hardest part, but that's turned out to be the easiest part. That was a shock. Yeah,
that's fascinating. So that part's easy. So now you're going to be acquiring customers.
Right.
Launched in April, just last month, right? So how long did it take before you had your first actual booked?
It took about 2 weeks.
Okay. That's pretty quick.
Yeah. And we did that through PPC advertising.
Yep.
It's, you know, the volume is there. It's as I expected, you know, as far as the business and the flow of traffic to the site. Having done websites for 20 years now, I know, you know, what it takes to market. And the big guys are spending a lot of money, just like Expedia and Travelocity, those guys, Hotels.com, they spend a lot of money to push down the brands so they can get the top, you know, the top of the funnel search there. Yep. We have the same thing happening with Hotel Paws. You know, our competitors are the Wags and the Rovers, and they spend, you know, they're valued at hundreds of millions of dollars. And so they're really, I don't know if they're profitable yet, but they, you know, they're the big guys out there. But no one has really gone into the hospitality niche. And that's not to say that they can just flick the switch and also do it as well. They probably sure. But you have to understand how hotels operate as well.
Right.
It's a very different business. And you can't just have people come in off the street and walk up to a hotel room and say, I'm here, I'm the pet sitter, right? So we have a loyalty program. Their concierge departments can sign up. And for every job that they recommend, they earn a bone. They get a certain amount of bones. They get a gift card from American Express. So we're putting that in place now to help get more business from the hotel in addition to whatever we'll get from the website from consumers.
Right.
Also.
Very cool. What, I mean, how did you figure out pricing and that sort of thing for the consumer?
I did some research on what a typical pet sitter would charge for you to drop off your pet on an hourly basis at their home, or for them to go to your house 3 times a day just to give them water, take them for a walk, that kind of thing. Right. And then just decided, you know what? I've always had dogs and I know they're part of the family. And for me, I would spend, you know, we're charging $49 per hour, minimum 2 hours. For someone to come to my hotel, take care of my dog that I know has been fully vetted and is a professional sitter, I thought that would be a good price point to start with, $49. And we do a revenue share back with the pet sitter on that. So that's where we're starting. We may adjust that rate up or down, and we may have seasonal rates. Different cities may have rates. You know, if you're traveling, if you're staying at the Plaza in New York or the Pierre Hotel in New York and you have your dog, no doubt you're willing to spend, you know, close to $100 an hour just to have someone come in and take care of your pet.
Yeah. And so just for people that are curious more about this specific service, like is the pet sitter just going to hang out in your room or do they take them for walks or how does that work?
Sure. So the pet sitter does go up to the room. They use the house phone to call, say, I'm here. And they go up to the room. They get an extra key while the guest is out. And they basically, they stay in the room and they take the dog out for a walk, a 30-minute walk as well. If it's an hour thing. Yeah. And I think too that what's going to happen is it's going to continue to evolve where people are going to book more than 2 hours.
Sure.
Now you go to New York to see that Broadway show. You're out for 5 hours.
Right.
Now you go to dinner and then watch the show. So there's a lot of add-on revenue that way that we'll be able to generate.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think you're going to have any issues with people booking more than a couple hours. It's pretty cool.
And what really surprised me too is we had one hotel company tell us, you know, come to our city because we're a destination city and a lot of people come here for weddings in their hotels and they bring their dogs. And so they leave the dog in the hotel room while they go to the wedding. Right. I never thought about that, but that may be a market too that we want to look into.
You know, absolutely. Yeah. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of other ways. And I love that you took something that was already out there, right? Pet sitting is not a new concept. But then you saw, hey, you already work in hospitality and how could you vertically integrate? And so you took something that sounds like a service that you would need as a dog owner and immediately applied that into your existing niche or industry. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
I'm impressed that from November to now you've launched and gotten and already, you know, had your first bookings. What's some advice that you give to entrepreneurs who are struggling and taking those first steps?
Well, the advice is, I mean, like everyone says, is you learn by your errors, right? Making mistakes. And there's no shame in making errors and making those mistakes. You just learn from them. And I think you just have to do, you know, just go out, just get it done and try it. If it doesn't work, you know, the $49 rate, like I said, may work in New York. It may not work in Myrtle Beach. It may be a different rate altogether. It may be seasonal. I'm not opposed to changing the rate. No one says I can't change the pricing, right? So get away from those thoughts or confinements in your head that you can't do something because no one's ever done it before. Just do it and learn as you go along.
You can't be stressed that you have to get it right the first time, right?
Right. That's right. You can't be. because no one gets it right the first time.
No. I was just, a friend of mine had just did a post about how Elon Musk had only had enough money in SpaceX to do 3 rockets.
Oh.
And all 3 failed.
Wow.
And so he had to go out and like kind of beg for more money to do the 4th. Right. And then that one worked. And then, you know, whatever, right. No pun intended, it took off from there. But,
right.
But I think sometimes entrepreneurs think, or people who want to be entrepreneurs think that they only see the success stories.
Right, right.
So they think, oh man, if I'm going to launch this, I don't want anyone to laugh at the website, or I don't want anyone to make fun of the first logo or you know, shoot me down from the pitch. But the thing is that's what helps you craft the message and refine the business.
Right.
It is the failures that will actually refine the message and make it work. So right. I think you mentioned like you've got to realign, right? You've got to take those failures and stop looking at them as negatives and say, right. Hey, this is what's going to make it work.
Yeah, exactly right. That's right. You just have to keep reiterating and just rolling out new enhancements and trying different things. You know, one trick I found over the years too is, let's say you have a product or service you want to launch through your website. I had one entrepreneur tell me what he does is he sets up a buy now button next to that product, and it goes to a page that just serves up, you know, we're not ready yet. And he's counting how many people click on that buy now button before he gets all involved in actually, you know, setting that product up for sale.
That's how I test new ideas. Absolutely. Oh, 100%. And I'll capture their email address so that I can see, hey, these guys are actually interested in buying it. And then I can decide, I can run the theoretical ROI, decide if it's worth investing and getting the product or not. And if it is, then I email them all, hey, we're back in stock.
Right. There you go. Right.
And if it's not, usually what I'll do is I'll email and say, hey, we're not back in stock, but here's one of our competitors. They're amazing. They'll take care of you. And I get affiliate revenue.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. There's a lot of great ways to, you know, be smarter about testing. But the bottom line is that all of them involve actually getting things done.
That's right.
Not just sitting around talking about the idea.
That's right. Yeah. You got to be able to execute, right? That's the thing. It doesn't have to be a perfect execution. You just have to do it. And that's, I think, what separates, you know, like the wannabe entrepreneurs and the ones that actually make it happen. Everybody's got a great idea, but, you know, very few will actually deploy and try to do something against that.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. 100%, DJ. So tell me, since you talked about, you know, work-life balance and all these kind of things, to me, businesses are about creating the lifestyle that we want and creating that freedom. Yeah. What's one major item on your personal bucket list that you're going to accomplish here in the next 12 months?
Interesting. Well, I think I've been doing a lot of traveling this year, and my wife's come with me on those trips. And we always tie in, you know, business, work a couple of days and have another couple of days of leisure time. We're going on a big cruise, Viking cruise in August throughout Europe.
Nice.
So that's exciting. But I think, you know, I want to continue to create the hotel pause business where it basically becomes a business that could be run from anywhere in the world, right? With a laptop. And with an internet connection, I don't need to be there, or whoever's going to run Hotel Pause doesn't need to be in an office, you know,
right.
All that's gone these days. And I think that's the thing that excites me the most is the business has legs. I look at that, you know, everyone you talk to, oh, great idea. We've have some business flowing through now. So we can continue the growth and continue that business. I think it could be a multi-million dollar business, you know, for sure.
Cool.
And you can run it from, you know, your boat in the Bahamas.
Right.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm loving it. All right, guys. So please go check out hotelpause.com, see if they're already available in your city. And now it's your turn to go out and do something.
Thank you for listening to Biz Ninja Entrepreneur Radio with Tyler Jorgensen. Please make sure to subscribe so you're first to hear new interviews and episodes. If you found this podcast to be valuable, please share it with a friend. Don't forget to visit our online dojo at bizninja.com to claim your reward for listening to the show.